minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is the Saturday crew. I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast and Game On Wisconsin, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettle of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and Packers, the Packers Unrestricted Podcast. As always, the quick weather update. It's hot and sunny here in Phoenix. End of story. Spoiler alert. Mark, everybody wants to know what's going on at the beach.
It's beautiful. It's couldn't be better. Well, high 70s, sunny, minimal wind. That nice ocean breeze. It's perfect.
Beautiful. And Paul Brettle in the Dairyland State of Wisconsin. Last week, we said spring had sprung. You turned a corner. Are we further around the corner?
Oh, big time. It is Saturday. It is a high of 86. I can't tell if I'm in Green Bay or at the beach with Mark in South Carolina.
Wow.
It's beautiful. It feels good.
That's unseasonable, right? It's not usually that warm this time of year, is it?
I wouldn't say it's common, no, but it happens in May.
Okay.
Little humid.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Some good stuff. Sun is shining in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Well, we're going to talk about some areas of concern for the Green Bay Packers. So we each have our biggest area of concern. We'll go through each of our takes on those, all the various analysis thereof. So since I always end up somehow doing most of the talking, which is not a gift necessarily always, I will yield. And Paul, we'll start with you this week. So just tell us what your area of biggest concern is, and we'll kind of give our take after that.
So I'll preface this by saying I wouldn't consider this like massive, holy cow. I don't know how they're going to manage, but it's on the radar of there are question marks, and of course concerns. That's what we're talking about. So I'm going to go with the interior defensive line. And really, if we go back a year ago, the Green Bay Packers were run off the field in the NFC Championship game by the 49ers, like literally run off the field. And I know receivers stole the show because they didn't address it in the draft, but they didn't address interior defensive line either. And I was, if not equally shocked, pretty close to just as shocked as them not taking a receiver. And as we fast forward to where we are now, we still have those big concerns. What's the mantra among Green Bay Packer fans? Get Kenny Clark some help. Now, as we talked about throughout our last episode discussing the draft, I do love the TJ Slayton pick. What he can add as a run defender, I think there's upside in pass as a pass rusher as well. However, he's a fifth-round pick. We don't know what to expect necessarily in year one. And in year one, he's going to be primarily a run stuffer. Tyler Lancaster, he's a limited run stuffer, we'll call him. Dean Lowry, he's fine. I would like to see his snap count reduced this year. If he goes from 65-70% to 50, I think that would be fantastic. There's Kingsley Keke, someone who I'm really excited to see. The Packers need him to take that year three leap. I think he can, but again, there's just that unknown. And then after you get past those guys, there's practice squad players, Anthony Rush, Delonte Scott, Willington Prevlin. So I think the pieces are there. Keke takes that step forward. Slayton provides that, you know, at least first down, second down ability at some point this season, even if it's not right away. I see the formation of a much better interior line group. However, there's still that unknown. And if they struggle, then, I mean, where is this group then? It's kind of where it's been in the land of mediocrity. So for me, that's my reasoning behind it and the concerns that I have.
Yeah, so on the defensive, that's a good point. I'm just looking at the roster. And Paul pretty much took us through all of them. I think the only one you didn't name was Jack Heflin, but I don't think he's locked to the.
How'd you forget him?
Yeah, that's my bad, guys.
the Iowa Hawkeye. So, but yeah, I think of the defensive line, I think to myself that two things. The first thing is, like you said, Kingsley Keke is a big X factor to this whole piece. And does he stay healthy? And can he elevate himself? Because I think he's got the tools to be a really good player and be a high rotation player again next to Kenny Clark up front. So Kiki's a big piece of it too. And then I guess I'll ask this, Paul. Do you think that the Packers are done potentially acquiring players? And is defensive line maybe a position that you think they might have their eye on in terms of guys that they might be able to add before the season starts? Because it just seems like of all the positions out there, defensive line is one where you can seemingly find a body or two at most any time of the year.
I think it's absolutely in play. If I had to guess, are the Green Bay Packers going to add to that position? My guess is no. And like I was saying, I can see the path to this being a solid defensive front, interior defensive front. But on the flip side, I also see a realistic scenario where halfway through the season, we're going, man, it's Kenny Clark, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So that's where the concern lies. As far as a position they could add to, I'm going to go back to what Brian Gutekunst told us after the draft. He, of course, mentioned quarterback, which they addressed. He also mentioned linebacker as well. And I think that's another position that you could add to this list. While I think Green Bay is fine with Martin and Barnes, I'm fine with Martin and Barnes as their top two. They're still second-year players. They both missed time last year with injuries. And if we look at who's behind them, if one of them's out, it's Oren Burks, who's a special teams player. Same can be said for Ty Summers. And then Isaiah McDuffie, who they brought in again. So if Barnes misses time or Martin misses time, hopefully they don't. But there's just a serious lack of really reliable depth at that position. And so to answer your question, I'm just going off what Goody told us, that linebacker is on their radar. So I could see that being, if they're going to address a position, that's what I'd guess.
Yeah, the Chris Barnes was frustrating because he was so good when he was in there, but he was always in and out of the game. It just seemed like every two or three snaps, something happened with him, and he had to hop out. Mark, the big guys up front, that's Paul's area of concern. I know we've talked about it before. What are your thoughts on that position group and in terms of level of concern?
Yeah, I'm not it's a concern. I'm not going to say it's not a concern, but I'm not that concerned about it for a couple of reasons. Some of what Paul said, I think Kiki, he missed time last year with concussions. Now, hopefully that's not a chronic thing, because then that could end his career if it is, God forbid. It's not like he has a knee or an ankle or anything like that. And he was really starting to play more and play well when he suffered a concussion. So, he's fine now. Hopefully that it's not a recurring thing with him. And I think he'll be very good. I think that was a fifth round steal, another very good pick by the Packers front office and Gutekunst and his scouts. I think by him playing well, it'll do what Paul said, take Dean Lowry down, take his snap count down to where he's playing 50-55% instead of 75%, and that'll make him a better player. Paul and I agree again on Slayton, as we talked about last week. I think he's going to, you know, he's not going to be a star. I'm not saying, you know, but he's going to give them, like, if he plays, you know, 20 snaps a game, 15, 20 snaps a game, that's going to make a difference. He's going to take up, he's going to give Clark a chance to take a breather. Here's another factor, which Paul didn't mention. I think the days of Mike Pettine's, you know, two down linemen, you know, like, which I hate it. I've always hated it. I think those days are over. I don't think we're going to see the 2-4-5 defense anymore, or the 2-3-6 defense. I think we're going to see more of a classic 3-4, and even some 4-3, I think, out of Joe Barry. So that will also make that part of being, you know, part of that San Francisco game was Penton never really adjusting to San Francisco. They were so afraid of Kittle and so afraid of getting beat that way that they almost let the Niners run. And the Niners said, okay, we'll just run all day then. I think the schemes and the defensive mindset will be different in 2021. That will make the run defense a lot better.
I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
I just wanted to touch quickly on what Mark said in regards to the linebackers and the defensive scheme change. Ross Uglum of Pack Report, he wrote this really excellent piece in the Chiefshead TV draft guide, taking a look at Joe Barry's defense. And when he got to the linebacker section, one of the concerns I just mentioned, he discussed how it's a lot easier for them to stay free in Joe Barry's defense. He had a good example of Corey Littleton. If we all remember free agency a year ago, he was on many Packers fans' radar. Might have been the best linebacker available. I could be wrong. I don't fully remember who else was with him.
He was considered the best. Yeah, him and the kid that the Bears lost.
Oh, yeah, Kwiatkowski.
Yep.
But anyways.
They both went to the Raiders, and the Raiders
stumbled. Yeah, they did. But Ross's point was they lost Littleton, and as we all know, that Rams defense didn't miss a beat. This was still the top scoring defense in the league. This Brandon Staley, Joe Barry defense does an excellent job of keeping the linebackers clean. So there's some confidence to take into the season if you have concerns about strictly Martin and Barnes. For me, the concern more lies in depth. What if one of them isn't available?
Yeah, that's true. And that's
right. They're going to add a linebacker. I mean, everything this guy has said, he's done.
Yeah, it's true. If Goody tells us.
You got to like him. I mean, I like that about him. You know, I actually wrote a story about that this past week for Packer Report saying, you know, a couple years ago he said, we're going to be aggressive in free agency. And he was. He signed four starters. A year later, he said, no, we're not going to be, you know, this isn't going to be like last year. And he's basically signed two Band-Aids in Wagner and Kirksey. He said, prior to the 2020 draft, I guess everybody mm-hmm. heard him except one guy. He might take a quarterback. You know, he said.
Who are you referring to?
You know who I'm referring to.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he said it. He said if he was asked, you know, well, you wouldn't take. Yeah, if there's a quarterback there that we like, well, yeah, we'll take a quarterback. Well, he did. We're going to add a young quarterback and a veteran.
Yeah, and I guess my question would. Well, I guess my question would be: so are there any names? If we're looking at who's out there right now, any names? Are there any names that come to mind?
You got to start reading my Packer Report stuff, Paul. Jason. I mentioned three linebackers. KJ Wright, who everyone's been talking about from Seattle, who's a little up there. He's 32, but he's coming off a pretty good year. Still on signing. There's rumors he may go back to Seattle. And then the guy that I really, really, really like is Jordan Hicks, who's not a free agent, but Arizona has to seek a trade for him. He'd be perfect for the Packers, for this Packer defense. Just perfect. I covered Hicks in his first two years in Philly. He first of all, off the field, he's a wonder. He's a great locker room. I know you people make that, you know, good locker room presence and all that kind of stuff, but he really is a good. I mean, he was well. I never heard anybody on the team say anything but what a great guy Jordan Hicks is and what a great teammate he is and all that kind of stuff. And he is. He's a real upstanding guy. Kind of guy, when he has a bad game, he's the first one to say, hey, listen, that was on me. You know, I should have done this and I messed up and blame me for that. You know, he's a stand-up guy. And he makes, like I said before, he makes plays. You know, interceptions, forced fumbles. He had a couple sacks. He's around the ball. I think the Eagles got him in the third round, bottom of the third round. You know, he was hurt a little bit at Texas, and then he played his rookie year. He didn't start right away, and then he played, but in eight games, he had like two or three interceptions, a couple sacks. Then his second year in a row this year. Then he kept getting hurt. Like the Super Bowl year, he missed about half the year. The year after that, he missed like six games. So he had problems staying on the field, which isn't a good thing, right? Then he goes to Arizona, signs him as a free agent. He hasn't missed a snap in two years with the Cardinals. Hopefully he's gotten over that injury bug. I think his base salary next year is only $2 million. The Cardinals gave most of the money up front, so that's the guy. I'd be on the phone with the Cardinals now, seeing what it takes. I mean, it shouldn't take a whole lot to get him, right? If they're letting him make a trade, it's got to be like a day three pick, or maybe, as I pointed out, maybe the Cardinals are a little thin at corner, and the corners they do have are relatively small corners. Maybe they look at Josh Jackson as a change of scenery kind of guy. Maybe he goes out to Arizona and plays like a second round pick instead of what he's done in Green Bay. Maybe Jackson and a low pick can get Jordan Hicks.
Well, let's hope not, because the Packers play the Cardinals here in Arizona this next season. So maybe play well, except for that one game. I'd be okay with it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll take my chances on Jordan.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, if that's what it's going, whatever, I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to get him. I mean, if I could, instead of giving up a higher pick, give up a six-round pick in Jackson, I would do that in a heartbeat.
The one name I'll add that I liked, and I liked him last year before the Packers signed Kirksey, was Devondre Campbell. I just think he's all around. Oh, yeah. He's steady. He's solid against the run, a good blitzer. And I'm not going to say coverage is his strong suit by any means, but he's not necessarily a liability either. He's someone who can be out there for three downs.
He's a free agent?
Yep.
I didn't realize he was a free agent already.
Yeah, he was last year. Signed a one-year deal with Arizona, I believe.
Okay. Hicks is a good cover guy. That's what I like about him in this Packer defense, is that he – that's what the Packers lack, is, you know, their linebackers have – they haven't had a good cover linebacker in a long time.
Well, to be fair – I mean, I don't want to sound overly naive here, but there's a lot of teams that don't have that. I mean, you saw the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, and everybody wants that. But there's a lot of teams that don't have linebackers that are superior coverage guys. I mean, I think if you could even just get average, it would be an upgrade.
Right.
The Packers have had these just bricks in the middle of the defense. I mean, I think of like Blake Martinez, and he wasn't bad, but yeah. you didn't want him covering anything but the second or third tight end and slower.
That's what I'm saying. Hicks would be that guy. Hicks can cover. He's a good. I consider him a good cover linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get five picks if you're not a good cover guy, right?
Right. Yeah, if you're smart too, if you're a smart player, I mean that's where we kind of miss the days of Desmond Bishop. We're still chasing Desmond Bishop a decade later, trying to find a guy that's as good as he was, or even Nick Barnett. I thought Nick Barnett played well.
Oh, Nick Barnett was very good. Yeah,
he was good in the middle there too. But I'm excited if the idea is to go back to kind of what Paul was saying is if they're going to play more true base, then. Yeah, that means you've got the right athletes and you've got the right players, and you don't have to keep tinkering and going with all these smaller lineups. And not that you don't want to go nickel or dime. If you have great defensive backs, great. But, you know, your players should be able to make plays. Whoever's on the field and offenses are only going to get smarter without trying to let defenses sub and all these other types of things that are going to go on there, too. So,
I mean, with that said, Jason, do either of you or both of you think, could Martin and Barnes play together?
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they could be your two inside guys. Mm-hmm, if they don't have anybody else.
That's kind of what I think is going to – I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of who, in my mind, I have penciled in the base right now.
Right. Well, you have to. You can't – Burks.
He can't play. Yeah.
He's like you
Ty
said.
Ty Summers is not he's not a starting quality guy, right?
No.
No.
No, neither. I wouldn't be surprised if one, if not both of them, get cut.
Yeah, they could. Well, they could. KJ Wright.
The thing is, they don't necessarily have the luxury to do so, though.
Yeah, with the depth right now. Well, I mean,
the kid from BC is any good. He might be one of them. And then if they do sign one,
right?
You know, yeah. I mean, neither one of them can play. I mean, they're not what you want. I mean, and again, like Burks is a major disappointment. A third round pick should be a lot better than that. Summers as a seventh round pick. If you're a good special teams player as a seventh round pick, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your different expectations, absolutely.
I would say. And it'll be interesting to watch that position group. I mean, KJ Wright is intriguing to me. I just think a guy like that has spent so many years in Seattle. Like, if he has an opportunity to go back to Seattle, he's probably just going to stay there and play and finish it out.
Yeah, he hasn't gone back yet. That's kind of...
Yeah, there could be stuff.
Well, hasn't.
There could be some stuff going on there. I mean, Green Bay is... it's a unique place. It's a unique place to play, and... You know, it all depends on how much, too, I think the player, because, again, the whole family, the outside of football aspect, moving their family and all that kind of stuff, too. How much do they really want to win? And right now, it's tough to have this conversation and really throw a lot of hope behind it, because there's probably some players that are sitting back waiting for certain other situations that shall go nameless to get figured out first before they decide if they're going to come join the Packers. So,
and one thing I wonder with Wright is his price tag.
Yeah,
it's all kind of a guessing game at this point, especially in what is just a really odd year with the salary cap. And we're getting closer to training camp, so that could squeeze players a little bit more, too. But take it as you will. SpotTrac, they have their contract projections. They have him at 2 years, 14 mil. So $7 million a year for a 32.
He's not going to Green Bay at that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But also, like I said, take that as you will. This has been an odd year for contracts.
I would trade for Hicks. Listen, if the Packers are going to get a couple extra day three picks next year from losing Lindsley and Williams, right? They're projected to get an extra four, an extra six. So they're going to have extra.
All right. So now we'll move it over to Mark. And initially, we weren't sure what your area of concern was going to be, Mark, but it sounds like you might have one now. What is your biggest area of concern for the Green Bay Packers?
You're right. I don't. When we decided to do this, I was going to say I don't have any concerns. I think this team has been built very well. They're deep in a lot of places. I think this is a very good team. I thought they were the best team in the league last year, and there's a couple bad plays at the wrong time cost them from winning the title. I don't think it was a matter of personnel per se or anything else. I think it was just bad, you know, bad plays by guys that you normally don't make. Aaron Jones doesn't fumble, but he did, you know. But I do. As we thought about it more, my biggest concern has been the Packers' weakness for the last, I don't know how many years. That's their special teams. You know, we've talked about it through the course of the year last year when we talked about what we, you know, when we did go game previews. Other than Mason Crosby, I mean, the punter was inconsistent. Apparently they're going to have a new long snapper, which might help, I guess. The covered teams were not good. They allowed two punt returns for touchdowns. Fortunately, they were against two bad teams, so they were able to win the game anyway. But, you know, you can't have that kind of thing. Their return game was basically non-existent after Irvin got hurt. Even when Irvin was out there, it was only just okay. Again, maybe Amari Rodgers can be a solution to that, but we don't know until we see it. So, and they have a new coach again. So they've taken steps to, you know, alleviate the problems on special teams. But until I see it, I'm going to say I'm concerned about the overall special teams unit.
I guess I'm less concerned after the Rodgers pick because of the return ability there, but coverage is important. And so
you
then
need a block for him too. I don't care. I mean, you could have Desmond Howard again, but if nobody's blocking, he's not going to go anywhere, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously the coverage. I mean, the Packers gave up more special teams yardage on returns last year than anybody else did. I mean, when Rick Goslin, did his rankings come out already? Because if they did, the Packers would probably last 31st. Again.
No, 31st.
Yeah, no surprise there. So that's where you look at, like, the thing that encourages me about special teams is that you've got Amari Rodgers now who's going to, and he's a rookie, so you've got to temper your expectations. It doesn't mean he's going to light the world on fire. I mean, Randall Cobb was special, and we knew that coming in. I don't quite know if Amari Rodgers is going to be that. If he is, great. I'm just not willing to put my stamp on that quite yet. But then I look at a guy like Shamar Jean Charles. I think he's your prototypical. If he can crack the roster, his chance is going to be on special teams, and if he can be like a gunner, or you get some of those contributors, and you just give special teams a boost. They've got Drayton now running that unit as a change of scenery, so that's a good thing for them. That's actually a really good one. That's a good one that I didn't think of because we all think of like position groups and stuff like that, and that's an obvious area of problem. I just, you know, I'm still seeing because they gave up the touchdown return to both Jacksonville and Philly. They gave up two last year.
Yeah, I'm saying that they were fortunate. It was against two bad teams,
mm-hmm.
or they would have, you know, that could have cost them a game.
Mm-hmm.
Mo, you mentioned Drayton. That's Mo Drayton, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad they hired Mo. Because they had Larry and Curly in the past.
yeah, for sure. Menenga did, but I mean, the guy that was before Menenga was absolutely, he was probably both Larry and Curly. But yeah, they needed an upgrade there too. Paul, thoughts on special teams as an area of concern?
Yeah, I love Mark bringing that up. It's clearly a concern of the Packers. They have two punters on the roster. They have two long snappers, and they almost had a third. It came out that they put in a waiver claim on a long snapper as well, so that would have given them three on the 90-man roster. I mean, you guys hit on the point.
I think they would have cut one. I think if they got the other guy,
that's fair.
You can't carry three long snappers.
that's fair, or maybe they're that concerned. But, I mean, there's really – you guys hit on it, and as Mark said, I feel like in many of our game previews last year, we talked about it. We're not asking them to go from worst to first. Just how about worst to, you know, 15th to 20th overall? Just something competent.
Yeah, that's, you know, little steps forward. And I think when you have the top offense in the league, it can cover up some of those warts a little bit. But just imagine if you go back to the days of, and I know that it's hard to do this, but if you go back to the 96 team, Mark, you and I have talked about this before, they were the best at everything. I mean, Coach Holmgren he wasn't content with just having the best offense and defense. Special teams was an emphasis, and it helps when you have a transcendent player like Desmond Howard returning kicks for you. But it was an emphasis, and it's like you get what you emphasize. And so the Packers just... I thought Menenga coming in was a breath of fresh air. Okay, they're going to, you know, reinvigorate this area, and still it just was not great, except for the kicker. So I think that's well said, Mark. That's a really good area.
It's now or never for J.K. Scott. I mean, what was he, a fifth-round pick in 2018?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's good, but he's so consistent.
Yeah, not a fifth-round pick by his choice. I mean, that was kind of – it's always – you know, you always kind of wonder. I saw some kickers go earlier in this draft, too. So some GMs, if they want their guy and they like the leg, then they're gonna get after it. But we'll see. We'll see what comes of it in terms of any competition, or if J.K. Scott's really in any danger of Ryan Winslow taking over his position. So he's got 1 year under his belt. He's out of Pitt. Another tall kicker, 6'5".
Wow.
So J.K. Scott wears 6. Ryan Winslow's wearing number 7. And apparently so is Kurt Benkert, if I'm looking at the Packers, the roster right now. So I don't know who's going to flip for what number they're going to get. But Kurt Benkert's wearing 7, and Winslow's got 7 assigned to him as well. So I guess we shall see. Well, my areas are – so we kind of talked about it before the show started. So if I can be cheeky, I know we don't want to delve too far into the topic that shall not be named because of all the drama and everything associated with it. But to be honest with you, if we don't know what's happening here, quarterback could suddenly become an area of concern, because we're talking about Benkert. He's obviously not a guy I expect to make the team. Or if he does, he's going to be on the practice squad. I don't think he's going to be on the active roster. But is it Rodgers? Is it Jordan Love? So, I mean, we don't have to delve too far into that whole thing. My biggest concern there, just quickly summed up, is I don't know anything about Jordan Love. I don't know anything about how well he looks as a Green Bay Packer. I haven't seen him in any action. Haven't heard about how he performs in practice, any of that stuff. All we have is his college tape, and this is not college. So he's a whole other year removed. Did the one year?
I don't think the Packers know too much either.
Yeah, I mean, is the year, the 1 year that he spent in practice and in all the Zoom meetings off season last year, and they're virtual again a little bit this year. So I mean, he's just up against it. He being Jordan Love is just kind of up against it. I think Rodgers, they end up getting it worked out, and Aaron Rodgers comes back. But if he's not, then, you know, who starts week one? Are they going to go with Jordan Love usher in the future? Or are they going to go with Bortles until they're absolutely sure that Jordan Love is going to be the guy? And is there any chance that Blake Bortles, I would assume Blake Bortles wouldn't have signed if the Packers gave him any indication that he was going to have to scratch and claw for a roster spot. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that. Paul, I'll start with you.
I mean, I think he was only on Denver's active roster for maybe a week or two last year. So I could absolutely see him just being here for a camp arm. And if I had to predict, that would be my guess. I know there's that unknown with Jordan Love, and you want to put him in a perfect situation. But there's also this part, too, where he's a first rounder. You got to take the training wheels off at some point and see what the kid can do. So I still fully believe, for the record, that Aaron Rodgers is quarterback for the Green Bay Packers week one. I've said that this whole time. I just think they're going to end up working it out. But in this scenario, if he's not, I think you go with Love and just see what he can do. You had at some point, you spent a first round pick on him, and it obviously was a big part of what has created this situation here in Green Bay. Not Love's fault by any means, not saying that, but him being added to the team has been what I think put Rodgers over the top. So if it comes to that, and I hope it doesn't, you got to see what you got with him at that point. And fans, everyone needs to understand that it's going to be a big bump in the road. It's going to be a learning curve. He hasn't played in a season. He's transitioning to the NFL level.
It just seems like it would be such a travesty to not truly run it back. And for Rodgers, and for whatever reason, I'm not blaming the Packers, I'm not blaming Aaron Rodgers, it would just be a travesty after everything we saw last year and how close they got. Their best chance, it's cliche at this point, but I believe it, their best chance to win is with Rodgers under center. Mark, you didn't sound as concerned if Aaron Rodgers isn't back. So quarterback, I guess, not as high on your list of concerns, or am I wrong?
No, it's not because, gun to my head and asking me who's going to be the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers against the New Orleans Saints opening day, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers. But if it's not, I'm okay with Jordan Love. I was okay when they made the pick, and I'm certainly okay a year later. Now, yes, we didn't, like you said, the Packers don't know what they have in Jordan Love. Well, the Bears don't know what they have in Justin Fields. 49ers, who traded 3 number one picks, don't know what they have in a kid that played one game last year and comes from a minor league school. I love people telling me Jordan Love isn't ready. I don't think Jordan Love's ready yet. But I think Justin Fields and Trey Lance should start day one. What? Wait a minute. Love is more ready than both of those guys. And Matt, I'll throw Mac Jones in that too. Mm-hmm. I won't throw Trevor Lawrence because he's in another category. But, Love, listen, like Paul, he was a first-round pick, just like all the other guys that I mentioned. And he's not going to go out and be Aaron Rodgers his first year. Just like Aaron Rodgers wasn't Brett Favre his first year. And I'm not saying Jordan Love will ever be Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. but the Packers saw something in him to not just take him but in the first round, but move up to take him in the first round. So they saw something. And like we said last week, I kind of trust these people a little bit. They made more good picks than bad picks. And again, he has last year was a weird year. There wasn't any preseason games, and even camp wasn't what it normally is. So he didn't have what most rookies get. If last year, if there was no, craziness going on, he would have played probably, 10, 12 quarters out of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because Rodgers doesn't play preseason anyway.
Yeah, so we would have gotten some at least more. A sample size.
Yeah, maybe more, and then we all would have saw, and maybe he would have been great, maybe he would have been terrible, maybe he would have been something in between. So we would have seen some more of him, but we didn't. So we don't know. But we don't know. I mean, nobody knows about a quarter. Nobody, like I said, even I've been through Trevor Lawrence. I mean, everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence is going to be very good, and I'm one of them. I think he's going to be very good as well, but. You don't know till you see him. We all thought a lot of quarterbacks that take it in the first round, people thought were going to be very good, and they weren't. And some that were, look at Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, right? I mean, they won two picks out of the draft. They're both on different teams now already. It's their fifth year, and mm-hmm. they're on different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota went 1-2, and you didn't know. I mean, so. Nobody knows what they have in a quarterback until a couple years in. So, while I want Aaron Rodgers back as a Packer fan, I think every Packer fan wants Aaron Rodgers back. There's a little bit in me saying, if these trade rumors are even close to being true, and they can get, three number ones and a couple twos and some players. Maybe I wouldn't mind doing that and seeing Jordan Love play. I don't know.
Yeah, I like your theory, Mark. And then I know this is a little conspiracy theorist of me, and then I'm going to actually move into another position that I think might be a better pick for this conversation. But part of me has to wonder if some of these trade scenarios that have been thrown out there on the podcast and in the media aren't manufactured by maybe somebody close with the Green Bay Packers that are kind of throwing it out there to see if anybody actually calls and bites on something like that. I wouldn't put it past the media and the way that media and social media and everything else works today, and everything that we've heard about how and why the news dropped on draft day and all that other kind of stuff. But
I saw one the other day that was just stupid. I don't even know where it came from. A friend of mine texted it to me, and I read half of it and texted him back and said, don't ever send me stuff like this. It had Denver giving them I don't know how many picks and like five players. And get it. I'm like, come on. Yeah, I said, I would do that yesterday, but Denver's not going to give you all that. It was ridiculous what Denver was giving up. I mean, let's keep it. Rodgers is 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If he's 27, yeah, maybe you would have gotten all that.
Right.
He's 37.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, Sam, if you could trade three number ones for a quarterback out of North Dakota State, who's never played, played one game last year and played threw 300 passes in his career or something, then I guess you can do anything.
Yeah. Anything is possible until it's it ain't over till it's over. But actually, the position group that I was originally thinking about, I wasn't being kind of cheeky with the whole quarterback thing, because obviously there's a lot to be decided there, was corner. Because... I still am just kind of shell-shocked from the NFC Championship game. I know Kevin King wasn't fully healthy, but it just seems like they picked Stokes. So, they addressed it as soon as they possibly could. I'm not saying the Packers didn't address the position. I'm not saying they didn't try or didn't do anything with it. And even if they had signed a veteran, depending on who it was, even if they had signed Richard Sherman, for example, I don't know how some of you feel about Richard Sherman. I'm just using his name as a corner who's been highly successful in the NFL. I'm still not 100% sure that the corner group wouldn't have been my biggest concern. I don't want to see the Packers run it back with Jair, Kevin King, because in week one, I don't know if Stokes is going to overtake King to start the season. So in week one, I have to believe essentially it's going to be the same three guys to start the on defense. It's going to be Jair, Kevin King, and Shannon Sullivan. Now, were they good players? Sure. They helped the defense get this team to the NFC Championship game. Kevin King came down to earth after a great 2019 season where he had six interceptions. He had hardly any of that last season. But it's one of those things where it's like, if you run the same thing that's out there, you're going to get the same results. And it comes down to, can you stop the pass? Can you make a big play? You know, it was 10 years ago. It was a completely different situation. But how did the Packers end up finishing the game against the Bears in the NFC Championship game? Sam Shields gets a pick. How did they finish the Eagles game? Tremont gets a pick. You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers played his tail off against Atlanta, but Tremont Williams had two picks in that game, too. So you've got to be able in the Super Bowl and in crunch time, you've got to be able to defend the pass. And that's what worries me is the cornerback group. Because at this point, who are you going to bring in? Who are you going to get? The draft is over. Free agency really largely is over with. So who are you going to get to step up and play really, really good corner at the end of the season? Now, again, Stokes could be that guy. Shamar Jean Charles. I mean, I look at his numbers and his size and I'm just like, okay, I'm not saying he can't do it. I mean, Tremont wasn't a super big guy. He was just really smart and very athletic. But I don't know that. And as far as Josh Jackson, guys, I don't know about where you are on with that train. I am kind of on the Josh Jackson just probably can't play regular snaps in this defense train.
I traded him to Arizona 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my take. That's my take is on the cornerback group. Paul, are you a little more bullish on the cornerback group? And are you more in the camp of, hey, King was hurt. I think he can actually give the Packers more this year, even if he is only on a 1 year, very inexpensive deal?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a little more optimistic about it, but I fully understand where you're coming from. And again, there's that realistic scenario where you could see, you know, rookie struggles, King doesn't. King's injured or that same inconsistency shows, all that stuff. So I get where you're coming from. I'm a little more positive because I know King's had the consistency issues, but while the lasting image is that NFC Championship game for most of us, he's had some solid performances here in Green Bay as well. And with the addition of Stokes, again, maybe like a Dean Lowry, instead of King being out there for 100% of the cornerback two snaps, maybe he's out there for 50 or 60 early on, or 70%, and maybe we get a little bit more consistency out of him when he's put into more often positions that he could succeed in potentially. There's also another year of working with Jerry Gray under his belt. I do think that that is a factor. It's not a coincidence that Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos, Jair Alexander all had literally career years last year with Jerry Gray in town. So there's that effect. And then when we look at the slot, at the end of the year, I think when we look back at snap counts, I still think Chandon Sullivan is going to have taken the majority of them. But I'm also expecting to see more of Darnell Savage in there. I'm also expecting to see more of Jair Alexander there as well. If we look at Jalen Ramsey, the 2 years, 3 years before Brandon Staley got to Los Angeles, he played in the slot maybe 60, 70 total snaps for the season. This past year, he was around 200. That playmaking ability, that presence in the middle of the field, also following around number one receivers, is why he saw more action there. And I could see more of that from Jair Alexander as well. So when you look at that collectively, King's playing time reduced. Obviously, we're relying on Stokes to come in and play some snaps, maybe more of a committee in the slot. Not that it's going to be a third, a third, a third, but more opportunities for Alexander and Savage. And of course, you have Jair. So for those reasons, I am more optimistic on the cornerback room.
I thought for sure, Paul. I thought for sure it was going to be because Kadar Holman is going to elevate.
Unfortunately, those healthy scratches at the end of the year are poor mark on my report.
Yeah, but I was encouraged
not
by him.
I'm writing him off, but
no, but again, listen, how professional are you as a professional, as a player here? You know, guys like Gene Charles and Kadar Holman, maybe they know their role. They know their best chance to make this team and make their mark on this team. And if they want to be part of greatness, your best contribution to greatness is what it is. Maybe it's as a special teamer, but if the Packers felt that way, then they, you know, even if he's not going to play on defense, if you're a really good special teamer, like you said, Paul, you're not a scratch. You're not a scratch on game day. So,
Kadar, if you're out there listening, which I know you are, I still 100% believe in you, my guy.
Yeah, president of the fan club. The fan club is alive and well here for sure. So, well, I mean, the Packers have some time. I mean, the mandatory mini camp is coming up, so we'll get a chance to hear this. It's not quite the Twitter refresh season that Mark loathes as far as training camp and all the updates that everybody wants to get on the players.
Gotta catch that buzz.
Gotta get that. The buzz. There's lots of buzz.
Is there a comment on the quarterback?
What's that?
I don't get to say if I agree with you on your quarterback concern.
No, you absolutely can. You absolutely can. I was gonna kick it over to you. I was just saying that the last thing I wanted to say was just that we'll get a lot of clarity on this particular, because the cornerback battle is always a good one, because there's, you know, it's one of those position groups where they carry more bodies. But Mark, what are your thoughts? I mean, I know that
I'm gonna make it quick because we're way long here. I love Eric Stokes. I'm gonna tell you right now, he's going to be starting way sooner than anybody thinks.
I hope so.
And whether it's in the nickel or, I mean, you know, as a slot or outside, I think he's better outside. But I'm telling you, this kid's good. He's real good. And as I forgot who wrote it, I don't want to say the wrong name. So somebody quoted, I don't know if it was a scout or a coach somewhere, but I remember the quote. The quote was, I'll tell you one thing. He's not gonna let the guy from Tampa Bay run by him for a touchdown. And like basically saying, if Stokes was playing in the NFC Championship game last year, Tampa Bay wouldn't have scored with a second to go in the first half, because that guy wasn't running by Stokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he ran by King. Not when Stokes runs a 4.29. There aren't many people that are gonna run by him. You can't teach 4.29. I think Stokes is good. I love that pick. The more I think about it, the more I read about him, the more I learn about him, I really, really, really like that pick. And I think he's going to be – I think he's Sam Shields. I said that the night they drafted him. They, you know, you mentioned Sam Shields a couple minutes ago, Jason, saying, you know, he had that pick. Well, they have a more polished Sam Shields than Eric Stokes.
And it's going to come down to what's between the ears, and can he end up being what Sam Shields was? Because Sam Shields, he put together a really nice career.
Oh, yeah, Pro Bowl player.
And physically, listen, if you're going for corner, what's one of the problems the Packers have had at corner? Not with Jair necessarily, but, you know, speed. So I don't blame
Goody. This guy's speed is not a problem.
Not a problem, not at all. No, I think
Goody. The one knock on him, and he even admitted it, which I like him talking about it. They say he doesn't have great hands, which is why he plays corner, not wide receiver.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
If you got 4.29 speed, you should be a wide receiver. You be a great deep, but he does. But he, you know, that's something you can work on. He said they're going to have, you know, they're throwing him. Even in this little rookie practice, he stayed and they, you know, on the jugs gun, I guess, and was catching balls. You can learn. I mean, that's something that you can teach and get better at.
Right.
If 4.29 is 4.29. I mean, if a guy that runs a 4.45 is not going to be all of a sudden run a 4.29. That's not going to happen. So. And he's around the ball. Now, he has to learn to catch it sometimes, but he's around the ball. He's got good size. I'm telling you, other than the top two guys, Sertan and J.C. Horn, I think the Packers got the next best corner in the draft. I really do. Because Farley got too many injuries for me. Newsom, he's also had some injuries. So I like Newsom, but he had some injuries, and he played in a conference that never threw the ball. This guy went against, you know, Alabama, LSU, Florida all the time. And practice, even Georgia has had some good receivers. So, no, I'm telling you, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going to lay down. I'm taking the sword for Eric Stokes here. He's my guy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hopefully he is. Hopefully he's everybody's guy, because the Packers need a couple of players, couple pieces to get over the hump. So if they can fix some of these issues that we talked about today, I think the Packers will find themselves in pretty good shape. But what do we got going on this week over at Packer Report, Mark?
I'm glad you asked. Well, I'm going to do Weaver's. I don't want to mention the name or the position. I'll say the initials are JL. I've done a little story about JL and where what people think about him around the league.
Okay. All right, JL. We all, I think we all can figure out who JL is, so we'll look forward to that. Yeah, all for right. sure. So a little Jordan Love piece for Mark. All right, and then Paul, what's happening over at Dairyland and Cheesehead TV, and what's coming up on the podcast?
Big thing at Dairyland Express, going through each draft pick, taking a look at their games and what some of the draft analysts had to say about them. At Cheesehead TV this past Friday, took a look at the Packers' need for some yak and how Amari Rodgers can bring that. As far as the podcast, man, we'll just see what pops up.
Yeah, well, hopefully if it's because you're gonna, I don't think, do you record on Monday or Sunday?
Monday.
So if you record on Monday, because it's Monday that Rodgers is on Kenny Mayne, right?
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yep. So, yeah, it's gonna be an interesting week. We'll see what happens a week from now. Who knows what our topic is gonna be? But this was a fun one. Some areas of concern for the Green Bay Packers. That'll wrap it up for this week's edition of the Saturday Crew of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Everybody, thanks so much for hanging in with us. Enjoy the coming of summer soon. Everybody, take care of yourself. Be safe and go Pack, go.